Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes.
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I put my heart out there every single week. I end up not getting a one-on-one. I get a two-on-one. One person gets a rose and they're bringing charity home without a one-on-one. And one person's going home.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Closing Tonight. We had our first game of the season without superstar Braden Bowers in the lineup. And let me tell you, his absence was felt, in my humble opinion.
Definitely missed.
Yeah.
That Braden play.
He's the lifeblood.
I think this episode is more, this is more about jumbling the numbers, perhaps. And I think the great play we're going to see at hometowns.
I hope so. It does look like we're going to have at least some very good family play. But I just got to say, in terms of how the producers have structured this season, despite the fact that tonight's episode was a little boring, in my humble opinion, because Braden's gone, you only get one of those. Then you're right into the playoffs. I think the producers have done a very good job of getting pretty much everything they could out of a Braden Bowers type player and then launching us into the playoffs. And we'll see Braden again, of course, in the men tell all. Who knows what he's going to do there? I have big hopes, high hopes. I want to see the biggest earrings we've seen yet, the craziest scarf we've seen yet.
They got to be.
I think that will happen.
He's got to be a full scarf. No suit, just scarf.
He should be draped in a giant scarf that covers everything except two eye holes and two holes for his earrings to stick out of.
The scarf should be attached to the earrings. It's all one.
Yeah, perfect. This is my scarf earring.
All great ideas.
Absolutely. If you're listening, Braden, please take them free of charge. I do think we saw some pretty good play tonight. Nothing out of the ordinary. I don't believe we have any superstars playing the game currently.
What do you mean? What about the Gentle Skyscraper?
Gentle Skyscraper. We're talking about, of course, Dawn. Gentle Skyscraper style is... I mean, I don't want to get into to who my MVPs and plays the games are and all this kind of shit. Mm-hmm. We saw some level raises.
What about Xavier?
Yeah.
I love watching him play. Every little thing he's doing, I think, is interesting.
Yeah, I like watching them play, but it's not... I don't know how to put this properly. It's just not dynamic. What Braden Bowers was doing was fucking dynamic. None of the players left are doing those like, oh my God, what is he doing kind of plays. It's all like, okay, they're going to raise a love level here and everything's going to go fine.
No one's getting feral.
Yeah, nobody's getting feral.
Eating radishes.
Nobody's picking up walking sticks. But they're also not doing like putting up walls really on the dates or anything. It's like the day portion was great. So's the night portion. Here's your rose.
There was wall play, walls that had already been taken down. Walls you don't need to worry about.
Exactly. False walls.
Yeah.
As they say in the business. At any rate, we are proud to be covering the game nonetheless.
By the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the best episode of Jorge Moreno's.
So far this season, yes. Although I do think Bachelor 27 had the best crop of Jorge Moreno's across the board of maybe any season we've ever seen. That was the one good thing they did that season. But yes.
It was really strong.
Tonight was a sea of Jorge Moreno's. And I can't wait to see who your Jorge Moreno bystander of the week was. I think I probably know. It's probably mine as well.
Yeah, I feel like there's one clear choice.
There's
one clear choice despite a lot of strong candidates who would have won any other week.
And who knows what is on the cutting room floor for those other Jorge Morenos. I'm sure they turned in good performances, but unfortunately, you just got outshined by a man who drives a gator boat, in my opinion. Okay, we'll get
to clues, no spoilers.
Sorry, no spoilers. We will get to that. But let's do it, Pace Case. Let's do what we came here to do.
And now... Pace Case and Bachelor Clues proudly present analysis of play in this week of our beloved game. This is Game of Roses.
It is week 4, episode 5, and we get the little intro. Tonight on The Bachelorette, New Orleans, good vibes, kisses, anything is possible with the right person. Love level 3s, Charity's falling in love. We see some gators. There is a 2-on-1 in a hostile environment, hearkening back to seasons of yore. I will say they tried to do this 2-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. It didn't work at all, but they tried.
No one was left in the bayou.
They tried. I give them credit for the attempt.
No one was left in the bayou to perform a witchy resurrection, Current Olympia style.
And Current Olympia was Taylor Nolan. We'll get to that when we get to the 2-on-1, but I was reminded of that as well. As we know, the great one, Nick Viall, season 21, had a week in New Orleans as well, and there was a 2-on-1 during that season also. But we see... someone is questioning if Charity is the woman to marry. All hell's breaking loose, and we see a knock knock. We begin portion one. B-roll of Bourbon Street, New Orleans, including a horse, not my creature of the week. And we see Charity ITMing that it's romantic and the food is the best food ever. So much to be done here. Tanner ITMs loving the architecture. Joey ITMs having strong feelings for her, and he can feel pressure continuing to build. Dotton then ITMs his strategy to build on his connection this week, which he feels is already strong. Charity rolls her suitcase up to the Royal Sonesta Hotel. We get a big, nice product placement shot of there.
Wait, you're missing a line by Aaron B.
Oh, I'm sorry.
City, baby, the city.
Yes, and that is an important line, actually, because it sets in motion this idea that Aaron B. is from here, and he better be the fucking tour guide on a 101.
This is his city, baby. Look, I think, you know, you're down on this episode, and I understand why. We're coming off a peak high of such a strong villain in Braden, but 3 of our top 4 players, I think, have really interesting play styles, and Aaron B. might be the most interesting play style of them all.
Okay, I'll go there with you. All right.
I can't wait to see what he's going to do. He definitely seems like he's a reader.
Yeah, maybe. But he gets like frustrated too easily and stuff.
But a wild card. That's what I mean. Yeah.
I agree that it does seem for me that his play style, we haven't yet even seen, that it's lurking just under the surface, ready to explode. Hopefully that happens.
What do you mean when he physically tried to stop breathing?
Yeah, but it was weak.
And ran, yelled at him in the bus.
It was weak. His physical attempt to stop breathing was weak. It didn't do anything except make him look stupid, in my opinion. If you're going to physically stop a player, physically fucking stop them. Don't put up an arm and be like, you better stop, dude.
It's chaotic. That's all I'm saying. And I enjoy watching it. They're at a beignet place, but we don't see anyone eat a beignet, which is such a missed opportunity.
Couldn't fucking believe this. We have seen the great one devour a beignet in such an animalistic fashion that his entire face and chest is covered in white sugared powder. After the event, we saw not even a beignet picked up. We didn't even see a shot of a beignet.
No, we just see them get drinks. Oh.
This is the legacy I'm talking about.
Anyway, then we get to the B-roll you were talking about.
Yeah, so then we see Charity rolling her suitcase up to the Royal Sonesta Hotel. She's ITMing that this is her journey, and it's the last week before hometown setting up. That's what's coming next. She does a little mini I Love Cleveland in her living room of her hotel room, calling the chairs so pretty. She ponders. She gets some Frank Bitten lines about maximizing time in this most amazing city. And then we see the guys at this.
There's so much ADR in this episode, especially with her retelling stuff.
They're mashing shit together all episode long. And that's what I'm saying. There was something in this episode that was just a little off. I think they just didn't have much. And that, like, they have to, at some point, convince Sean to do a fucking self-execution knock-knock. You know what I mean? He didn't want to fucking do that. Are you kidding me?
Poor Sean. I'm like, they're just, all I could see was what they're telling him. And like, she thinks you're the Kendall of this season. You know, you're going to still make it to hometown with no one-on-one. Like,
yeah. She just needs to have one more conversation with you. Go tell her how you feel. She appreciates honesty. She wants to know that you're going through a hard time. So go in there.
She needs to know where you're at.
And we want to help you. We're going to get you that time. We know you didn't get a one-on-one. We know that two-on-one was brutal. We're going to get you. The best we can do is a little mini one-on-one. Just think of it as that. Think of this as your one-on-one. Send him in there. Just fucking chops his head off. Anyway, okay. So the guys are at this beignet cafe. Sean here is saying it sucks not having a one-on-one. Charity emerges, comes to greet them. Tanner ITM's definitely playing from behind, he says, because he hasn't had a one-on-one. This is open gameplay speech, or OGS.
And they repeat it twice in the episode.
Yeah. And he says some other OGS later on, too, that's fucking like... There's a lot of OGS in this episode. Aaron ITM's that this is his stomping ground. He's lived in NOLA for 7 years, but he feels the pressure because his one-on-one, the first one of the season, was such a long time ago. We see a horse-pulled carriage approaching, driven by a man in a top hat wearing sunglasses. Any other episode, this is your creature and Jorge.
Yes.
This ain't that episode, though.
The creature snorts. It gets in the foreground with Charity behind it. Like,
the creature is the transportation of the date. Generally speaking, if the creature is date transportation, that creature gets the COTW. In this case, not the case.
Yeah, especially a horse.
I know. The symbol of our beloved game. Charity then tells the guys that there's a date happening right now, and Joey gets it. The first one-on-one. This is animal, husbandry, horse, and carriage. Charity and Joey get in the carriage, and this horse was, I wrote down, was my not creature of the week. I couldn't believe it. Thank you. The guys all watch them leave, and Aaron theorizes that Joey's going to get the rose. Sean and Tanner both commiserate over not having gotten a one-on-one yet and having nothing left to do at this point. Totally agree. So do the producers. Tanner then ITM's feeling overlooked, even though he's been patient. He wants his chance, but it might be too late. And when he's saying, I've been patient, patient with whom? The producers? Charity? Who does he direct that patience towards?
Our Lord and Savior, Dark Lord Palmer.
With Jesus? Oh. At any rate, we begin portion two. Day, it is the one-on-one. Joey and Charity are in that carriage. Joey ITM's excitement for the city. He tells Charity that the city oozes history. She calls herself a bit of a history geek. What does that mean? She's listening to history podcasts?
Yeah, love to hear about the facts of time.
Okay, it is a game of time. She ITM's readiness to take things to the next step, and a whole day together is a good test for them. They're in the Big Easy, and she hopes it will continue to be easy with Joey like it has been. He tells her it's easy with her, and he's excited to get time with her. A lot of easiness in this relationship. We get a little kiss, and we see a line of horn players as they get out of the carriage. Any of these horn players could have been a Jorge Moreno.
The one in the red hat.
That one is the one I'm thinking of as well.
He was making eye contact. He was getting right up in their dance. This man was a star waiting to be born any other week.
And immediately after that, they go to a tarot reader who also could have been a Jorge Moreno, but was not.
Gigantic talons.
And she tells him, someone is manifesting to be the star of your life and you will complete each other's lives. Can you imagine this? The producers hire a tarot reader. Okay, this is The Bachelor. We're going to have him come over to you on a date and we need you to lay down some tarot cards and tell them, you know, in this case, the producers are like, these two are good together, so they're destined. But then they can also use tarot to be like, there's trouble a brewing, you know, if they want.
Mm-hmm. They probably have them read both.
Yeah, exactly. Just all of it. What if you get tapped to do this and you're the tarot reader, you should do something like, oh my God, this combination prophesies the end of the world. You will have a child together and it will be the Antichrist and it will destroy Earth. And I would only do that. Give them nothing else.
You somehow get this job.
Yeah, this is my new life. I moved to New Orleans waiting for The Bachelor to shoot a fucking group date or a one-on-one. They're just waiting for years. They're coming. I know they're coming. One day they'll be back. Show gets canceled before I get to fulfill my goal. So I have to move on to Love is Blind somehow.
You would have like... I couldn't imagine your taught. It would be extravagant.
Absolutely. So anyway, it continues and they walk around the horn line. They're dancing a little bit and Joey ITMs that it felt like he was out on a date with his girlfriend. We get some kissing. He ITMs a breakup PTC and says Charity is worth the risk of letting himself heal from this prior breakup. And he's excited and lucky. Then they encounter a man on the street who writes poems on the spot. This is a fucking literal man. And I Googled this a little bit. I think this is like a tradition in New Orleans. I think there's a bunch of guys who do this. Mm. Probably like tarot readers. At any rate, this is a fucking guy who has dialogue in the show. He's part of them expressing how they feel about each other. Potentially even like a next step type character to further their relationship. He's getting each of them to say...
Yeah, he should have just added in a love level there.
Totally should have. And also, what love levels are you on? The poem is called Love Level 3. Love Level 3. Love Level 3. I love Joey and Joey love Charity. I don't know. Anyways.
No, falling.
Thank you.
Falling, falling, falling. Love Level 3.
Oh, that's a good one.
Falling, falling, falling. It's just you and me.
Oh, Jesus. You should be the one who moves to fucking New Orleans.
Do I have a new job?
Yes, I think you do.
Thank you. That is beautiful.
Jesus.
Thank you.
But this man is sitting there.
Never even been to the poetry lounge.
You should come. It's fun.
That's what I'm going to do. Just poems. Bachelor poems.
I'll do one if you'll do one.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Have a panic attack.
At any rate, this man is getting this information out of them. Joey tells him that Charity is captivating, has a good smile and eyes. Charity tells the poet how Joey views love and swept her off her feet. His enthusiasm is infectious. And the poet kicks out this fucking poem. Creates a poem on the spot. This is literally what they ask some players to do on various artistic expression group dates. They sometimes ask them to write poetry. This man's literally doing a skill that players do on a show to the lead and a high-level player. And it was not my Jorge Moreno. I can't fucking believe it.
Mm-hmm. We get fairy tale music as they make out. I feel like they're giving him kind of a Ben Higgins edit, yeah. Joey. They're showing so much of him, but it's like, it's very sincere.
Yeah.
They make out in front of this church castle looking thing. Portion 3, they are at their dinner. And she wants to talk hometowns. This is kind of how she is presumably starting all these dinners.
Yeah, she's going to position it all.
And Joey says he has zero doubts. He's excited, but his family doesn't want him to get hurt. He's loading these familial walls. But, you know, I want to end up with you at the end of all this. Charity then kind of preps him for how he's going to handle these hometowns and asks him about interracial marriage. And he says... You know, I have not dated someone, a black woman before, but like, you know, I could ask questions, listen and learn. I want kids, so they'll have
have this as part of their story. And she says that her past relationship had a lack of awareness and an ignorance that those things don't matter. And she didn't see that effort. And she wants their partner to educate themselves. And Joey says, my family looks at what's on the inside. And she likes his answer. It means a lot. He says, I mean every word. She produces tears. He gives her a hug. It's very sincere for TRR conversation. And Cherry says, this is the first time I've cried like this out of happiness. That says a lot. And she's so excited and hopeful to meet his family. So gives him that first hometown rose. He then says, I would be crazy not to tell you that I am love level 3. And this was my
play of the game.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. I just love this timing of the love level 3 after the rose. It's so 4TRR.
Interesting.
Not that other players' love level 3s didn't seem 4TRR, but this was just like, he knew he already had it.
I think. I didn't give it my error of the game, but I thought it was an error. In my opinion, once you secure a rose, you're never love leveling.
Save it.
You've got the rose. Save it. You can do it on the doorstep of your hometown if your hometown goes bad. And then you can save your 4 for the finals. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a powerful fucking play. And here, I felt like it was wasted. Level 3 is big.
I see that. I think in this era of gameplay, level 3-ing, once you already have Rose in pocket, at least to the 4th audience, I think it comes off super 4TRR, make Joey the next Bachelor vibes.
I don't... maybe.
We'll have to see how it plays out in the numbers.
You also have to look at the long game of it. And I get what you're saying, and I think you could be right in certain circumstances. This could be the right, in quotes, right play. You get more out of a 4th audience for it. But in this era where nobody's fucking following you on Instagram anyway, who gives a shit? 4th audience doesn't matter really anymore. Not in the season, you know? Not in the play of the game. It does matter, because if you do something crazy, you could pop off and get your million and be fine. But you got to do something crazy now, at least in our beloved game. But I just feel like using this later is better, because the guys who are using it now have to love level 4 in hometowns, basically. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can, maybe if you're good enough to re-love level 3.
I think you re-love level 3 if you're Joey in this situation.
Oh, that's so rough, though. That's so rough. Because if another guy then love level 4s, he outmodes you. You know what I mean? Well, my connection's better with him, obviously, because he's fucking willing to say I love you now. It just, you want to be able to go on your own path of progress. But I just think playing a love level 3 before hometowns, really, unless you're doing it to secure a rose, which we see a little bit later, I think, it's just not necessary. It's not necessary, because then what do you do at the fucking finals or fantasy suites is the following week?
Yeah, I liked it because it wasn't necessary. And I don't know. I just think it's it was unexpected for me.
I guess. I just look at fantasy suites and I'm like, you've got your 3 players there. Let's say 2 out of 3 of them love level 3'd in this round. And then they love level 4'd in hometowns. And now they're going to have to love level 4 again in fantasy suites. No momentum.
Yeah. I think you want hometowns to be the bye week of love level raise. I think you hit it again. You think you hit the love level 3 again in this case.
I think you always want momentum.
Look, maybe it's a short-term play, but I thought it was a great play for this episode.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. We very rarely disagree at this level where you're like, it's a good play. And I think, no, it's an error. But I could see see merit in what you're saying. And I think it is probably situational. At any rate, congratulations, Joey. You got the rose. You get a little kiss with that rose. And then they emerge from dinner to find the horse and carriage waiting. Charity's ITMing that tonight somebody told me they love me because they wanted to, not because you begged them, not because she begged them. She loads level 3. I'm falling in love with him. Back at the house, the guys, they speculate about Jody and Trudy kissing on the day. They're like, probably, who had that line? Was that Xavier? They're probably kissing. Yeah.
I don't want to think about it because I know they'd be kissing. I laughed so hard. I was like, this is the line of the episode.
It was pretty funny.
He's so fucking funny.
And then knock, knock. Sean ITM's needing that one-on-one time because next week's updowns, there's the date card. It is Sean and Tanner. The fucking, I forget who was reading this date card, but he really fucking put the juice on it. It says, it's time to get clarity. Meet me in the bayou. I thought that there was a missed opportunity here to rhyme something with clarity, perhaps charity. It's time to get clarity. Meet charity in the bayou. Something like that. Anyways, 2-on-1. Sean says, how did we manage this? Agreed. I wrote, the producers have not built this into a rivalry at all. This 2-on-1 comes out of nowhere. There is no reason for these two guys to be on a date other than math here. Mm-hmm. And this is one of, to me, the build to this 2-on-1 so far in a season that is otherwise like almost perfect. This is a low point for me, the 2-on-1.
Yeah, I mean, they've built up Sean's character. They have not shown any of Tanner, I feel.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are the stakes here? We see Sean is freaking out, goes to the bathroom. Next portion, we see some ponder shots. We see the 2-on-1. Both Sean and Tanner get in the elevator. Then they like man spread next to each other in a car.
And we've seen those shots before. Most 2-on-1s have these exact shots. It's the two of them like on their way to the 1-on-1 in the various stages, or the 2-on-1, sorry, in the various stages. And that those shots are designed to amp up the tension. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. Like, I felt fucking nothing in this. Do you remember fucking Corinne Olympios? Let's just get to it. One of the greatest 2-on-1s of all time. Corinne Olympios in this very city, Taylor Nolan in this very city, the great one, Nick Vial in this very fucking city. It had like a seance going on in the swamp. Taylor Nolan gets kicked off, but then goes to do a seance while Nick Vial is concluding his dinner with Corinne Olympios. And then she comes back.
Oh, yeah. It's Taylor Nolan who does it.
After the fucking seance. I mean, that shit was fucking insane. And they're literally out in the fucking swamp, like tromping around in it.
Wait. Which one did the resurrection? Corinne or Taylor?
Taylor. Corinne wins that date. She got a hometown.
Oh, God. Right.
Taylor loses the date and then does a seance in the swamp and then comes back to, like, you know, give him a piece of her mind kind of thing.
I want a seance before every resurrection. I think it should just be part of it.
I agree. Anyway, I'm just saying that was a different era. This felt pale in comparison. We see that Tanner ITMs that Charity threw him a curveball. I wrote, lol, that was the producer's dude. He feels overlooked, and we see Sean and Tanner doing all this shit. And then we see an alligator crossing sign. Charity comes to meet them in the bayou, just like Vial did. And then Charity says she knows it's not convenient, but she wants to have a good time, embrace the day. They get on a swamp boat. Piloted by Captain Tom, who calls Sean Young Pop, and he tells him they're going to look at a few gators. And he begins asking them how being in love with the same girl is going to work. He tells them it's one at a time for sure. And then he begins to pilot them through gator-infested waters. And we're seeing gators on gators on gators. Everywhere gators. Gators swimming. A million gators up on the land. Charity's ITMing, wanting things to work with Tanner. But can he show her he's not afraid to open up? What?
There's no opening up.
What? That's never been anything. We don't know anything about Tanner. Now that's the thing they're pinning on him. He better be able to open up. Huh?
No, his whole storyline is like, you can't not show a character at a single time and then expect us to be like, oh yeah, of course, that's Tanner's thing. We see Captain Tom is narrating all of these gators, and he says, that's a big male with four females, the Bachelor of Gators. I thought that was going to be my creature. It wasn't.
Same.
They go, can we feed them? He goes, yeah, one time. Just the fucking one-liners. Just nailing it.
Yeah, just a career of it. Every family he's ever taken out on that has become for him an hour-long chance to hone his gator stand-up. And he's got a joke for anything you could say about this experience. It's amazing.
Group dating, not a problem. He's seen it all before. Sean brags about how they have gators at his Florida golf course, nature preserve. I'll let you.
And then they round a corner and they see two gators doing something that we have not yet seen gators doing. These gators are having sexual intercourse. They have no shame in their game. They were my... Creature of the week. They embody both the love of our beloved game, the Fantasy Suite Round, and the danger of the two-on-one. They were a perfect visual representation of what this show is, in my opinion. And Serpentine, of course, calling into our minds the darkness of our game, the evilness of our game, the sinister nature of it, the satanic nature of it. We all know it is.
Is Satan related to gators?
The Bachelor? Satan's directly related to the Bachelor as the enemy of God, Jesus Christ.
No, gators.
Well, I mean, yeah, gators are like serpentine.
And snakes are evil.
That's the serpent. The devil is known as the serpent sometimes.
These humping gators who took their chance to make national news and humped, representing the strong chemistry game that we are hopefully going to start seeing from some of these players, were also my creature of the week. Couldn't believe it. We saw humping frogs on Love Island this season.
Yeah, it's happening.
And now
it's happening.
We're seeing it in our game. I feel lucky.
Me too. Now, let me ask you about this. You said hopefully represent some of the chemistry we're going to be seeing. Mm-hmm. Have we seen any chemistry players? They're kind of trying to position Xavier as the chemistry player because she keeps talking about how they have crazy chemistry together. But like, we haven't seen it in the same way we have in the past. Not like, let's say, a Corinne Olympias as a chemistry player.
No way. Whipped cream, bouncy house.
Yeah.
That's chemistry, baby.
Or even a Vial as a chemistry player. Vial crashed the season and was using heavy chemistry play by the second episode he was there, if you'll remember.
That was FaceTime play. I don't know if that was necessarily chemistry play.
Chemistry play? He had sex with her before Fantasy Suites. That's not chemistry play?
You think that was his chemistry play?
For sure. Who's else?
Mm-hmm.
The other guy.
The one to go.
At any rate, they all then go to this table. Captain Tom pours out a big kind of jug, dish thing, bucket of crawfish for them to eat. And he's telling them how to suck the heads out. And then he gets an ITM about Charity clearly liking one guy more than the other. But if she doesn't pick either one, I'm here for her. This got a genuine laugh out of me. And that is why Captain Tom was my...
Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
This dude had it fucking all. He's literally piloting them through waters in which they could die. So if he fucks up, they die. Huge responsibility. Cracking one-liners left and fucking right. So much so, this guy was so good on camera, they gave him a fucking ITM. I don't think that happens with all of the Jorge Morenos.
No, it definitely doesn't. Only the really good ones. And this is why he also got my...
Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
I loved his little laugh. I loved that he's doing his own chemistry play here. I think he was, you know, shooting his shot. And we have Senior Bachelor now. Every Jorge Moreno can just be your audition to Senior Bachelor.
Could you imagine if he was the Senior Bachelor? They unveil the Senior Bachelor and it's like, you might have seen me on the last season of Bachelorette.
All the dates are on the Croc River.
I drove the gator boat and I've got a bucket of crawfish at all times.
Ugh, I loved it. It's not the first time we've had a gator date. I remember Vienna Girardi was on a gator date back Pavelka season.
Pavelka. 12. The Dirty Dozen. All right. So Charity then, eat some of these crawfish, and Charity asks them both to go to dinner with her that night. They accept. Then Charity's doing an ITM, and Sean comes over to interrupt that ITM. He gives her a hug, and he gives her a fucking kiss during her ITM. Tanner ITM is being scared that it could end tonight, and Charity is visibly flustered by this, but says in her ITM, why is he so sweet? Now, I don't know if she's acting here. I believe she is, and we'll get to a reason why I think that a little bit later. It's a very telling piece of body language from Charity during the benevolent execution, but her saying this here is, I believe, acting. When she's like, why is he so sweet? She had to kind of play it off like, oh, that's great. She's into it, even though I don't think she was.
Yeah, I feel like neither of them are, but...
No, I agree. I think he's playing just a hardcore 4TRR game, but it's like, it's a put on. It's an act, in my opinion. Portion 5 begins. Night 2-on-1. They both meet her in front of an old house style restaurant. She thanks them for a great day. Charity ITM's wanting to have no regret about who she's sending home. And she tells them that despite how uncomfortable the day was, they both... I have no idea what this note says.
She wants clarity today.
It's M-E-B-A-R-C-E-D.
Membrane? Remember? Embraced?
I have no... Oh, they both embraced. It's embraced. They both embraced the day. That's what it is. And she wants them to meet her and lean in. I'm like, what the fuck? Mabarked? All right. Jerry pulls a bachelorette's preference. Sends Sean away to talk... Or sends Tanner away to talk to Sean first. Now, I don't know. Has it been done like this in 2-on-1s before where they just send one person to go stand in the street?
I have not seen it like this. Usually they take the person and bring them to a spot. I guess they only had lights for one spot, is what I assumed.
I have no idea. But I was just like, okay, you know, Tanner, you just got to go stand in the street for like 20 or 30 minutes. We'll come get you.
Yeah, just look out at the people.
It was so bizarre. But we get this one-on-one time with Sean. She opens with a how you doing, asks him how he would feel about her meeting his family. He says that family is special to him and he wants her to feel the love from his family that he's felt his whole life. And he's willing to get crushed and take the risk because she is worth it. Tanner, meanwhile, is outside pondering, ITMing that he will worry only about what he can control. And he's going to be open and honest with her. Charity then tells Sean that this conversation is weighing on her in a good way. We get a kiss. Tanner ITMs that he's going to be into this conversation with an open heart, 100%, make or break. That's open gameplay speech. Then we get the one-on-one time with Tanner. He comes in hot, opens with a PTC. His guards are up. He says he was in a relationship until one small argument, and then he was ghosted. And since then, he's had his walls up, but he's realized that's not what he wants forever. This was a Hail Mary at best, weak PTC. There's nothing here. There's no meat to it. So you were in a relationship, you got in a fight and broke up?
Yeah.
Very hard to hang a hat on this one.
You kind of have walls.
Yeah.
And he calls her a beautiful, amazing person. He gets a kiss. We cut back to the guy chat, and it's a time cop, Aaron. He says it's 11:40. He's got to watch because he's read How to Win the Bachelor. And he says he's holding on to something 4 weeks ago that feels like 6 months ago. We see Dotton gets the second one-on-one, and Aaron B is not happy, but he says he's not happy for Dotton. He's just confused. It's not all peaches and cream. And we cut back to Charity. She has a stress rash in her ITM. She says no rose tonight. And then Sean gets mad. And how can I feel so sure of her? And she's not. And he does this. He taps his wine glass on the table and they make that kind of look menacing. We then see this one-on-one day date with Dotton. They are doing the Crescent City Classic running race. Nightmare.
Now, let me ask you about this not giving the rose part.
Mm-hmm.
Whose decision is that?
Producers.
You think it is?
I think they want Sean to do this knock-knock.
Right. They're building to a knock-knock to have any amount of drama.
They're like, keep Sean. We need to suck the last moments of Sean. He's Jordan Kimball.
I guess. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I don't know.
I just felt like this, it prolonged a thing that didn't need to be prolonged. Like there was already no drama in this.
No new information. Yeah.
I'm already at zero stakes with this one. I just couldn't find myself caring about who's going to finally get this rose because I knew it was very likely neither of them. You know,
I mean, I don't like a zero rose 2-on-1 date. I like a clean 50-50 split.
Me too. Like that's the mechanic of the 2-on-1.
One stays, one goes.
Exactly correct.
They got rid of the poem.
I don't like it either. I like the, if you're going to do this mini game, play the fucking mini game, play it by the rules. Now, if a bachelor does something or a bachelorette does something that is, you know, beyond control, so fucking be it, I guess. But this, definitely she had to have talked to the producers to do this.
You think she went rogue?
No, I don't. I don't think she did. I think this was like either a joint decision or they wanted her to do it and convinced her to do it. I don't know. It just felt like...
I just assume she already knows it's neither of them.
Yeah. It was just like a weak thing. Like, again, there's just no drama in it. And so why prolong it? Why even put them on the two-on-one date in the first place?
No, the drama was just having Sean repeat the same ITM over and over again. Mm-hmm. I'm so sure of my feelings for her.
Yeah.
Why not her? We see this one-on-one date with Dalton. Charity ITMs, I don't run and laughs. And I was just like, oh, queen behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They run in tutus and...
Well, if I may, Dalton shows up and he goes to hug her and he pulls her into a standing hooju. Now, this is not a hooju at all, okay? Don't get me wrong. There's no approach.
I wrote hooju.
There ain't no hooju, though. This is not a hooju. It's something different. Whatever it is, it's fucking gorgeous. There is no approach. So again, we cannot score this as a hooju because the approach is a massive part of the hooju.
It's not a standing hooju.
Sure. If you want to call it that, let's call it a standing hooju.
It feels like an intention to hooju.
Yeah, it is, but it's not a real hooju. One of the best parts of the hooju, in my opinion, is the approach. Do you remember Kelsey Weir in season 24, international round, Pilot Pete? Do you remember?
Sir?
Yeah.
Those are Wendy's?
No. What? This is the only place in the world I can go into this deep thought about a fucking hooju. This is the only place I get to do it. If I did this in the real world, I would be getting some, sir, this is a fucking Wendy's or whatever, not a Wendy's.
Are we not in the real world? You think this is a simulation?
No, the pit is safety. The pit is warmth. The pit is where I can talk about my hoojus.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Kelsey wears hoojus. I know. I went for the jugular and I should have. Kelsey wears hoojus. Obviously, that's a world record.
She basically does a fucking Olympic-style triple jump approach. Like, you're just never going to see anything like that again, probably. And here, we don't even get a chance to.
I feel like Charity could.
I do, too. See?
She has the cheerleading background.
This is why it can't be hooju. Because I know. I can see what she can do. She did a fucking back handspring on that one date. Just like, here it is. Her approach could be something magnificent. We never got to see it here. And now, I don't know if we ever will. Although, maybe we will. You get them sometimes in hometowns. Definitely, you get them in fantasy suites. We'll see. At any rate.
You're like, we're in the Renaissance era.
Yeah.
Give me real hoojus.
Exactly. So there is no approach, but the mounts is impeccable, as is the cling, double ankle lock, hand to elbow, behind the head grab. We don't get a good dismount footage here, but it is a sight to behold, especially because it almost looks like she is dressed for it specifically. She's wearing these bright pink pants, tights. They show off her leg work around Dalton,
mm-hmm.
who is wearing all black perfectly. I mean, it's unfucking real. It's like you couldn't dream up a better thing to like put on a screen and rewind and be like, look at her ankle hooking here. Look at this. You could see every piece of it. It's so fucking brilliantly done. And of course, also Dalton is 275 feet tall. So it makes it extra impressive.
I think we're going to see him, and we get to something that makes me think this is reader behavior, the standing hoojus. But they are introduced to a giant crowd. We see them kind of running. We see them taking shots, getting beers. This man puts a sticker on Dalton. We see Charity say she's a smitten kitten, and we get a ceremony of the ancients here. This man who says, next week I will be married 58 years. And they ask his secret. Two words. Yes, dear.
I mean, pretty good.
Because the woman should be the manager of the house, telling the man what to do, bearing all that mental load. This is what Barbie should have been about. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. This was like some direct reference to Barbie in your mind. You're like, they did the Barbie group date and now they're still talking about Barbie through this old man in New Orleans.
No. They finish the race and he pulls her into another standing hoojoo to make out.
Yep. I know.
Beautiful.
I agree. Look, I'm not saying that they were bad. They were good. They just weren't hoojoos proper. You got to have the approach. I'm sorry. That's a part of it. It simply is. They sit then on this little cement thing. They discuss being happy. She says it was so refreshing how natural they are together. And he says it feels very confident. Everything that's to come. We get a kiss. And Don ITMs that this is the most normal and real world type of date he's had in a long time. And he can't wait to pour his heart out tonight and tell her what he's been dying to tell her. But he's scared that she might not feel the same way. He's here teasing a love level raise, of course. And then portion 7 begins. It is nighttime. We are at Compass Point Restaurant. Dalton and Charity come into this restaurant. He ITMs that he's never felt stronger about a person or a part of this. And a part of this really is scary to him. His heart is saying this person is probably for him, but his head is saying this is happening too fast. Don't get your heart broken. This is great setup because it means the feeling is there, but his head is saying this process is a little crazy. And that's fine. That's reasonable. That's a reasonable wall. We should all feel that way. And he makes it. I will just say, I want to go a little bit into detail of some of the things that he says in his speech in this thing, mm-hmm. because the speech and this love level 3 was my
play of the game.
So now that you know that, I want to tell you why. Because it had some flares. They ask each other how they're feeling. Good, excited. She asked him how he feels about bringing her home to meet his family. He's excited for them to meet her. He always has been, but it's scary as hell. And there are mixed emotions of excitement and fear. And he says, I know you've been on the other side of this. Right in the setup of what he's about to do, he says, you've felt what I've felt. It's the process. He's basically implying that whatever misgivings or like hesitation he might have is not because of anything other than the process. That's what that means. You've been here. You understand the anxiety I'm feeling. It's because it's all happening so fast. We're in this game. It's fucking beautiful. So now he can basically say anything negative and it's blamed on the process. And she has to accept, I agree. I was in it. I know this. It's such a simple little thing just to put it right at the very beginning. And it also raises the stakes of whatever you're about to say next. Because you're about to say something that's like a little against 4TRR. Something that's like, I'm not totally sure about this. It's just so fucking brilliantly laid in, I thought. He says he's thought about, she goes, it's scary. And he says he's thought about what makes it scary for him. For him, it stems from fear of failure. This is a borderline PTC. His life has been weird where anytime he wanted something and went for it, it felt like he fell flat on his face. So it led to fear of failure. And that's where his fear is coming up now. Again, a beautiful, not quite a PTC, but it's a beautiful way to frame this because he's basically saying, I'm afraid of losing you, something I've really wanted. He's saying you. He's like, I want you, but I'm afraid that I can't get you. Beautiful. Again, it's all like complimentary toward her. She says she feels the same way. It feels so good and so right. What is she missing?
She says, this is what I prayed for and opened up my heart to receive.
I mean, doesn't get much better than that. She says they both deserve to feel good and confident. She knows this is exactly what she prayed for, and she's taking the risk. And he says he's learning how to unlearn these things from her. He didn't realize it until he came on this journey. So he takes you full circle. I'm feeling a little nervous about this process, but let me tell you something. This process and you being a part of it has made me a better person. It's a work of art what he's done in the way he laid this logic out. It's just fucking airtight. He's learning that sometimes a good thing is just a good thing. Charity ITMs that she's happy with Dalton opening up about his fears and feelings. It lets her know that she's getting the best of Dalton. He makes her so happy. Then he tells her that he has conflict between his heart and his head. His heart is in, but his head is saying, you don't deserve this.
Unlovable.
But he's working on listening to his heart more and letting it open up. So even here, he doesn't say, but my head is telling me this is crazy. His head is telling him the PTC he just played. I don't deserve this. It's a human flaw. But now watch this. I'm going to overcome it right before your very fucking eyes. My head is telling me I don't deserve this. But you know what? I'm going to go with my fucking heart. I'm going to let that open up more. My heart is screaming that I'm definitely falling in love with you. Love level 3. Charity says her whole face and body lit up, and indeed it did, because her reaction to Dawn's level 3 was my
face play of the game.
I don't think a lot is real in our beloved game. I think much of it is completely fiction. Her fucking face, when he level 3s her, is 100% real. I don't know exactly how to describe it. Kind of downturned lips, just like eyes and that thing that's like, oh my God, I can't believe he said this to me. It's 100% real. This man, I don't know. He did something to her with that level 3.
You've convinced me. This level 3 was my
play of the game.
Joey, I'm sorry. Revoked. I can rip that rose right off.
I convinced you.
Broken. Why aren't we seeing that in the promo again? I want to see that every week. No, I loved how you laid that out and like talk about the kind of general walls and what he's learning from her. You're right. It was so good. And like her literally feel like I got electrocuted. Thank you. Like that's the response you want. And this is the response that I kept thinking about when Sean level 3'd. And she's like, thank you. No electrocution.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is, by the way, before the rose. So he's not using this frivolously. He's like, this is a big fucking play. I'm going to fucking play it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to use it to get my rose. And of course, that's exactly what fucking happens. She gives him that rose as fast as she fucking can. Then they go on the balcony of this restaurant, down the stairs, and Charity's ITMing fucking tears. They come to a little patio area with lights all over it. They get a couple of kisses. Dot and ITMs that it's clear he's falling in love with her. The heart wants what it wants, he says, and the connection's so strong. They call themselves the happiest boy and girl as they stand under the lights. And then back at the guy's hotel, the guy's chat has Aaron telling the other guys how hard it is to watch the other dates. And we get a fucking knock knock. There's another goddamn date. This one's a group date. So now it's Aaron, Xavier, Tanner, and Sean. So Tanner and Sean have been on a 2-on-1 already. With no conclusion.
Right.
Now they've got to also be on a fucking 4-person group date. This is a 4-on-1. You did so good on the 2-on-1, we're going to fucking double it up. Now you got a 4-on-1.
It's going to be a 4-on-1. And then actually, it turns out to be a 3-on-1.
Poor fucks.
Sean is doing rose math. Dalton comes back with the rose. And Aaron makes sure to point out that he knows that what race they did was, and Sean leaves the room. He's so upset, and we get this horribly 80-yard line of Xavier. I'm worried Sean might do something crazy. Sean complains.
I wrote this note about Aaron when he comes back and he's talking about the marathon. I wrote this note. Aaron is visibly appalled at his lack of knowledge of NOLA activities.
Oh my God. It was just like, he's, I don't know. He gives me like Dwight from The Office energy.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. He does have that.
Like talking about like bears or like, I don't know. I just like,
yeah.
He's very funny to me.
I agree.
We see Sean complain again about getting no validation. And I was like, what do you mean no validation? You got Mr. Ken.
He did.
You won the 10 minutes at the pier. That's validation.
Yeah, he won a PFT this season. He didn't get nothing. He never got a 0-point rose, but he got a little PFT.
Well, that's his complaint. He performs this knock-knock. And Sean says he didn't share his emotions since Oceanside. No one-on-one, no validation, 0-pointers. Like, that's what it was. He specifically says it's having a rose going into rose ceremony, which is our definition of 0-point roses.
Yeah. I mean, this is like not exactly clear gameplay speech, but it's game understanding for sure.
Yeah. Sean says he wanted to bring her back to hometowns, feeling great about where they stand. Only one girl has ever met them before. And I would have flown you to New York tomorrow. I'm totally in the process of love level 3.
And Charity fucking sighs. Not a good sigh. And she gives him the standard, you know, you've shown me so much from the beginning, but
it's tough to watch. And this is where I'm just like, they fucking made him do this whole thing.
Oh, they wrecked him. They wrecked him. She basically dumps him here saying, I have stronger connections. I just can't get there with you. Despite he even has a pleading in the end. You know, I think if we just had that one-on-one time, we could get there.
Yes. She says there are stronger connections. And he says, part of me knows what we could do. The one-on-one, we could get there. And him not accepting this benevolent execution on the first time was my
error of the game.
It's just like you already got the victimization edit. Like you got the love level 3. So it makes like,
yeah,
you're getting your heart broken. Like you can't push your way past there are stronger connections at this point in the game.
This was not my error of the game, but Sean accepting the knock knock at all was my
error of the game.
This stage in the game, knock knocks are fucking never good. You never take that one. When the producers are like, you should go talk to her and tell her how you feel. I don't know. I'm okay, actually. I could just wait until the cocktail party tonight.
Yeah. I want to go swim in the pool a couple more times.
Isn't there the zip line's up, isn't it?
The zip line.
At any rate, this was a hard thing to watch. And this is where you know Charity never liked him at all. And so when she was saying he was so sweet, you know, to come over to do the kiss thing that was acting, you know this because there is not one moment of her dump speech where she looks at this man in the eye. Not one moment. There's not one shot of it. She is looking away from him the entire time.
Yeah. This is the definition of zero chemistry, this conversation.
Yeah. And this is what leads have to do, you know? I think she knows, and as all leads do, maybe it's down to 2, maybe 3 people at this point, but you got 6 and you're getting kissed by them and you're going on dates with them and shit. You have to act like you give a fuck about them. And here, I think it became a little too much for her. She couldn't do it convincingly, I think, and look at him. I think she knew that if she looked at him and did this, he would know she was lying.
Damn. I gotta watch the eyes more.
That's the job. That's the fucking job. You got to take it on as a lead. I mean, and I don't think this like is an error or anything. I think it's a hard thing to fucking do. I'm just saying, I think it came through for me in that moment that like, fuck, this is a part of being the Bachelorette that she doesn't like doing very much.
She does it well, though. She produces tears. And that's honestly like, this would be my power move as Bachelorette. I'll produce those tears anytime, any place.
Right.
USTCO me.
That's what all these guys wind up doing. She dumps them and then starts crying and they're like, no, it's okay. It's all right. You got to do what you have to do.
That's what I would do too. You comfort me as I'm dumping you.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's it. She chops off Sean's head and he ITMs being heartbroken, crushed, confused. They hug one last time. She tears. He ITMs trying everything he could to express how he felt and it wasn't enough. He's walking away with such incredible feelings about this girl. What happened? He saw a future with her and he himself produces tears. We are into portion 9, day, group date, or AKA the impromptu 3-on-1. Charity is pondering. She ITMs the week, bringing a lot of highs and lows, 2 great dates, and then Sean leaving. The guys get on a streetcar. We're talking about Tanner, Xavier, and Aaron. And Charity ITMs that all 3 are strong players, uses the word strong here, but the Sean incident is weighing on her. She says that the hometown rose will be transformative for her life and for theirs. Is that true? Is it possible that you could go
Final 4?
It's going to be transformative to their lives if she doesn't wind up with them? I don't know about that. I guess it gets you into paradise automatically, but Final 4, you don't need that for it. At any rate.
No, you're already in paradise at that point.
we see her sitting with the guys and saying it's terrifying, but she wants to know she's making the best decision. And then she bachelorettes preferences Aaron. Aaron ITMs that this week has been mostly down, but he thinks they have a strong connection and he's ready to intro her to his family. We get that one-on-one time with Aaron. She opens up with a, how you doing? He says he's okay. Happy to be in New Orleans, but it's been one of the hardest weeks of his life. It's been painful watching the guys get their chance, seeing the guys with the post-charity glow, he tells her they all talk about, which is interesting. I mean,
love that.
Where's that guy chat? Where's that footage? Right? Can I please see them talking about the post-charity glow?
Yeah, why aren't we seeing that?
I have no idea. That's a guy chat I want to fucking see. Exactly.
Release the glow tapes.
But he says, the only thing that's helped me get through this is our time together, and the only reason that I can get through it is you. She believes it, she says. You know that went well. And you know pretty much that he was going to get this first rose walking into this anyway, I feel like. But Xavier and Tanner are then strategizing that Aaron's probably going to get one of the two roses. And we see back on the one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm. And Xavier has an amazing sweater.
Oh, yeah. He is wearing a very nice sweater. I caught notice of that. It was almost like a Braden Bauer scarf kind of move. Almost.
Mm-hmm. Taking over the mantle. We see one-on-one time with Xavier. And he ITMs, I really, really like Charity and want to love level 3. So he's still at love level 1 at this point. And Charity says their chemistry is crazy. She's wondering if this week has changed his feelings. He says, you're looking for a forever partner. To be fully transparent, it scares me to commit myself forever. I want to do it once, right? No doubt in that. So Xavier is playing walls here. And he says, I know I want to get engaged and married, but I'm running every moment between us, trying to get clarity to make me fall in love. But I think I can get there. If you're the one, I don't want to pass that up. But previously, it has scared me. What did you think about these walls by Xavier?
I had very mixed feelings. I mean, we see the outcome of this date, obviously, so it works. I thought it was potentially unnecessary. I think for a player like Xavier, he's not... Usually if you're playing walls in this scenario, you're somebody that like you're in the one or two slot. And I don't think that he is. I think that it's hard to be like confident enough in your first audience game that this would be an okay play. Cause what if he does this and it scares her in some way, or she sees like a, if you're one of the guys who's not in her top two, but she has to take 4 to hometown, she has to take 3 to fantasy suites.
Yeah, she can just say at that point, like...
Maybe this is, like, she sees it as a, like, oh, if you're not totally sure, then you got to be out. It's giving her the possibility to get rid of you, in my opinion.
No, I think that is spot on, giving her an out. I just realized I missed my face play when... I think this is when... when Sean love level 3's Charity,
mm-hmm.
Charity makes this face that's just like, oh, or, that is very good.
Face play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Gets my face play of the game.
Let me see it. You got a pick?
Yeah, here.
I didn't show you mine either. Here's my face play.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, that's a 4TRR face.
I know. Very rare for me to select such a thing.
This is it.
Oh, damn. That's great. That's a great shot.
We see Charity gives this, I guess, this group date rose, we're going to call it. Or would you call this a 301? I can't remember what we did for...
Well, I mean, when they did it in season 24 with, God, let's just for a minute, go back with me.
I guess I have to. I'm a prisoner.
To that 3-on-1 in season 24, you ain't got a choice. This isn't Conspiracy Town. I don't know what this is, Nostalgiaville. Let's think about that. 3-on-1 for a moment.
Uh-huh. Which one?
On that 3-on-1 was Victoria Fuller.
Oh, Kelly Flanagan.
Kelly Flanagan and, of course, one of the greatest players we've ever seen in the history of our beloved game, Hannah Ann Slews. That was a 3-on-1. I'm sorry. That 3-on-1 produced Victoria Fuller, who is one of the best Paradise players I think we've ever seen. It produced Hannah Ann Slews, one of the best players we've ever seen, and it produced fucking Kelly Flanagan, who wound up seriously dating the lead for years after the show.
After being edited to look like she was napping during it.
Yeah. God damn it. That was a fucking 3-on-1. This doesn't have that feeling to me, but whatever will. I don't know. At any rate, I would put this as a group date because that's what it originally was supposed to be.
Categorized as.
Yeah.
Aaron has gotten this group date rose. They get this kiss to the side. He's taking Charity to Houston, Texas. This felt like kind of an announcement in like a draft. You know, I'm taking my talents too, whatever. As they go into playoffs.
It's like they do in the NFL. They'll have like at the beginning of any NFL broadcast, they do a thing where they kind of go through the starting lineups of each team and they put these little like videos kind of each player like that they take of them. They like fly onto the screen and it'll be like, my name is John Johnson from the University of Mississippi. They all say like where they're from. It's so hilarious. It reminded me of that very much.
Yeah. We see Charity holds the rose, says this is the hardest thing. I'm not giving the rose. See you tonight. It's going to be a 2-on-1.
Brutal.
We see this getting ready montage. Charity.
This poor Tanner. They put this fucking guy through basically a 2-on-1. Now this 3-on-1. Now that gets boiled down to a 2-on-1. Unfucking real.
Two 2-on-1s.
Yeah. In the same week. Like basically on back-to-back days. Jesus Christ.
Rough. Charity says she's going with her gut, and we see her perform a knock knock and surprise Tanner.
Also, do you see this shit? They make those guys get dressed up in fucking suits, and she's just like in jeans and a t-shirt. The fucking disrespect to these two dudes is like unreal. It's unreal.
They let them get dressed up for their swan song exit.
Yeah, I know. But they could have put her in a fucking executioner dress. Where's that? Just a fucking, that's what every bachelorette needs. Just a dress that you know is like, oh fuck, if she's wearing that dress, it's bad news. You don't want to be on that fucking
bed. It's just that it's just that green t-shirt that Katie Thurston wore.
That's fucking hilarious. Oh shit, she's putting on the green t-shirt. It's like in a special case that they fucking travel around with and shit.
Yeah. They bring that and the ladders and the hot tub everywhere they go.
One producer is just in charge. They have that a case like handcuffed to their wrist that has the green t-shirt in it.
Charity produces tears almost immediately. Says it's not fair to your family. Was it make sense for us? I'm here to express my heart. And he keeps saying it's okay. Charity doesn't want to contribute to his pain. You're incredible, but she gives him another benevolent execution. And he ITMs, so fortiorar. I didn't say how hard it was on me because I didn't want to hurt her because I knew it was hard on her. She deserved the world. I thought this was an amazing exit line. This is exactly what you want going into paradise. And he like wanders Bourbon Street.
I wrote this down too. Then we get a shot of Tanner walking the streets of New Orleans. They just sent him into the city. This is where you live now. Or find your own way home. We don't care. I was like,
go find a poem.
Yeah. What am I to believe about this? They just fucking said, fuck you. Hope you got enough money for a Greyhound.
It honestly just feels like they had B-roll of Tanner that they were just like, we didn't end up getting his limo exit or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Tanner was an interesting player. I gotta say, I'm not like that sorry to see him go. Definitely a floater. Contributed almost nothing of significance this season. And this is about as far as you can go with that kind of a strategy.
We see, I don't know what you call this at this point, cocktail party, one-on-one date with Xavier. The end of the 2-on-1. Like, what kind of rose would you consider this?
Also, it's just kind of like, I believe Vial did this too for his final four. He just gave all of the four remaining ones like, yeah, you all get a rose. He just like came into their room and said like, well, this one's gone and I benevolently executed this one. So you're all going to get a rose. I would say it's a zero pointer because it's not in a rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. You know, I would call it ultimately, I guess, a group date rose. This was a two rose group date rose. He got one and Aaron got one. But they show a shot of a rose sitting on a table in his room. And I was like, was there a rose in Tanner's room too? I don't think that I saw it.
I don't think so.
But if they put a fucking rose in that guy's room and then fucking chopped his head off, oh my God.
I don't think so. But like Xavier didn't know that. Like he could, he's just shitting bricks right here.
And she, and they give her a fucking script in this to trick him. She says she has one rose to give out. And quite frankly, I don't have to give this rose out to anybody. And he's like, what? And then she's like, but it's something I want to do. I want to meet your family. So here's your rose. I was like, damn, they fucking got her to do that to him.
Yeah. Like do a private rose ceremony.
Yeah. But like hitch on it. I don't have to give this rose out to anybody. And then pause for 5 seconds and then say, but I want to. Crazy to me that they got her to do that.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, Xavier says, I know this is crazy, but I'm ready. They kiss. Time will only tell if it's the right decision, Charity says. And we get this promo. Aaron is love level threeing. Life is measured in moments, says someone. Joey is teaching her tennis. Charity is crying at a slideshow. We get this genuine Joey question again. If Aaron proposed today, what's your answer? Oh, I love this mom play. Mm-hmm. We get honest mom. We get Charity crying in an airport hangar. And then we get this tag. The Grim Reaper is checking his watch. There's two suitcases. And he gets this call from DLP. Trent, do not pull the luggage. I thought this was funny. I think they need to get a different Grim Reaper. It should be an ex-player.
I agree. If you're going to do Grim Reaper bits, no offense to Trent. I know he's been the Grim Reaper for a little while. At least they stunt Grim Reaper him. This is a guy from Barstool Sports.
Yeah, like a couple.
He's been in the audience a couple times. He's like a Bachelor super fan who talks about it on Chicks in the Office, I think, is the podcast that he is on from time to time. And maybe on some of their other ones. But I agree with you. I think if you're going to make the Grim Reaper a character, there's a bunch of interesting people that would do that.
Yeah. It was funny, though.
I agree.
Like, oh, yeah. What do you do in that situation? Not enough DLP for me in this episode, though.
No DLP.
This phone call in the tag.
Yeah, you got his voice.
Oh, you think that wasn't him?
No, I mean, I think it was him. They recorded his voice, but he wasn't having a conversation with that guy on the phone.
Oh. So he was only ADR.
He was nowhere near this episode. He was, yeah, I think so. And certainly we didn't see him.
Well, no rose ceremonies.
No rose ceremonies, but still concluded the rose narrative.
Yeah.
There were two eliminations. We did get our final four.
Four chosen for hometowns, yes.
And we have our final four are Joey, Dalton, Xavier, and Aaron B.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go play us.
Pretty strong. Pretty strong. It's a much more diverse final four than we're used to seeing.
Definitely.
So that's good. I'm not sure if it's historic, but Matt James,
I feel like similar.
Yeah, but it's good nonetheless. And I'm still very high on this season, despite the fact that this episode was for me a little lackluster in the recent absence of superstar player Braden Bowers, who I believe is the greatest player from this season. And I think
that was just out of respect, and we're all in mourning. This is the mourning episode.
You think they purposely kind of subdued the episode? I don't know about that. But all right, who was your MVP, Base Case?
For my new play of the game and for his level 3 and for doing what would be my nightmare date, Dotton was my
MMMMVP.
Well, for me, there was...
I went on a hike date once, and it was not good. It's not a good... You don't want to be, like, tired on, like, an early date.
I got to say, I've never gone on a date ever that is an exercise date.
I think you're just going to stop at never.
I don't personally understand it. I don't personally understand it, but to each their own. Anyway, this game, my MVP was someone that deserved recognition and never got it. Sean was my MVP.
Interesting.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Dalton was, of course, my...
MMMMMVP.
He made that stellar love level 3 play. It, like, look, everybody has these plays. Every player has a love level 1, 2, 3, 4. It's how you play them. It's when you play them. It's timing and quality. And in my opinion, perfect timing, perfect quality. I think the timing of Joey's love level 3. Not as good.
Yeah, I see your argument. That's why I changed mine.
All right. Well, that's it. That wraps up our coverage of this last game of the regular season. Playoffs are next week. We'll be covering that. We will, of course, have a This Week in Bachelor Nation out for you at the end of the week. And we had a new Digging Deeper drop yesterday.
Without Pace Case.
A Pace Caseless.
FYI, because I'm going fishing.
Going to catch some creatures.
I'm in Young territory. Michelle Young.
Nice. Hopefully you can catch a fish that knows her. And I wish you luck. But
thank you.
We'll be back all this week. We, of course, also have Grace and Parks Darkseeker doing grafting, covering Love Island UK, which is coming to a close soon. When does that season end?
We got to be close. I'm almost caught up.
All right. And of course, we're keeping our eyes on that Golden Bachelor and everything else that's coming out this fall. Love is Blind season 5. Gear up for that. Paradise is going to be right on the heels of this season of Bachelorette, which there's only, what, 4 more episodes of? So got big things coming up. We hope you'll stay with us for that. And before we go, as always, what is that Dwob at?
It's been 7,791 days without an Asian Bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.